And here comes the soloist. All right, one more last piece of business to take care of before we can listen to this entire exposition. Again, I'm drilling on this exposition. We're listening to the same material over and over again because it's utterly necessary that we get A, the themes in our ears, and B, even more importantly, these drum tap D sharps, the resultant transition material, and the cadence material. In many ways, it's, as I've said before, it's this peripheral stuff that bears the great dramatic weight of this movement. We've got to have all this stuff clear in our ears before we're ready to move on to the second expo, Development Recap and Coda. So let me just illustrate for you one last point and then listen to the exposition we shall. I want to show you how Beethoven is growing his themes. I want to show you the little DNA molecules that he's grafting and culturing and creating the larger thematic ideas out of. Because the themes in this particular movement are about lyricism and they're about scales. Simple grouped notes that proceed up and down D major scales. For example, theme one. Is all scalar. Everything is stepwise in the key of D major. Now, theme one, phrase C, that which occurs at measure 18, focuses this idea of scale and is essentially nothing but an ascending D major scale. It's as if has been focused into a singularity, into a single ascent. Now, theme two is in two halves, what we call an antecedent that rises and a consequent that falls. And it is also scalar. Here's theme two. Second half. If we take these two bits of scale and attach them, the rising half and the falling half, we get, which is, of course, what we had from phrase C, theme one. So Beethoven's staying within the same sound world with all of these themes, and that's why they sound so close together. The cadence theme, cadence material, part one. As we pointed out, takes the B phrase of theme one, where we heard those D sharps, and incorporates them into a theme, and therefore gives those thematic relevance also. And lastly, we've got our dialogue in part three of the cadence material. Now, if we take the opening of our bridge transition, that surprising surprising arpeggio, what it does is it just spells out a harmony, it spells out a chord. If we combine that with theme two, we get part three of the cadence material. Do we hear that? That's just the rising arpeggio that initiated the bridge transition, that shocking moment, combined with the rising beginning of theme two, creating what sounds to be a new idea, but is not, is completely unified with what has come before it. So we should be aware, as always in Beethoven, and frankly, as always with any good composer, that thematic consistency, coherency, creates a sense of rhetorical, narrative context. We know where we are, even if we can't really be sure why, because Beethoven is building on what came before. All right, we are now prepared to listen to the exposition. I want you to be aware of the following things. This is a lot, so please be as aware as you can. Be aware of the lyric nature of these themes. Be aware of how these themes develop out of each other as best you can. Just try to be aware. Be very aware of the harmonic ambiguities of the D sharp at measure 10 and the bridge at measure 28. Wow, do they stick out, and we should hear them stick out. Be aware of the explosive and dramatic nature of this transitional material in the bridge. It's the only stuff that sounds really dramatic at the beginning of this piece, and Beethoven lives in that dramatic world, so this is something that we're going to hear a lot of before the movement is over. Please be aware of the ubiquitous presence of the drum tap and all of the different roles that it plays. Be aware that when the violin enters, it will traverse the entire range of the violin, from the lowest to pretty much the highest, in its effort to integrate itself into the texture of the concerto before it begins its solo exposition. And